This is your KPNF Regional Newscast for Wednesday, June 10th. I'm Audrey McCabe. The Beehive Fire is continuing to spread in western Montrose County. As of 7 p.m. last night, the fire had grown to about 180 acres. High winds yesterday pushed the fire further east, per Incident Command. As it moves eastward, the fire is beginning to parallel the canyon. As of 5 p.m. last night, there was no threat to structures. Several aircrafts were requested to combat the fire. It was reportedly caused by lightning from storms that moved through the area on June 7th. Screwworm detected in Texas has been making national headlines, and Colorado is increasing its preparedness. Governor Jared Polis and the Colorado Department of Agriculture announced Thursday that the state is activating its New World Screwworm Response Plan following the discovery of the parasite in a three-week-old calf in Texas. State officials say the infestation was found in the calf's umbilical area, and Texas animal health authorities are working with the U.S. Department of Agriculture on a response. Governor Jared Polis says Colorado is taking steps to ensure the state is ready if the pest spreads north, emphasizing the importance of protecting the livestock industry, food supply, and agricultural communities. Officials stress that New World screwworm does not pose a food safety risk, and the nation's food supply remains safe. The parasitic larvae feed on living tissue through open wounds and can cause severe damage to animals if left untreated. Early detection is considered critical, and officials say infestations can be treated when caught quickly. Colorado State veterinarian Dr. Maggie Baldwin says the state has been preparing for the possibility of a U.S. detection and already has a response plan in place. That plan includes producer education, disease monitoring, potential livestock movement restrictions, and coordination among state agencies and industry partners. Agriculture groups across Colorado are urging producers to remain calm but vigilant. They encourage livestock owners to closely monitor animals and contact a veterinarian if they notice unusual wounds or signs of infestation. State officials add there is currently no reason for concern among private horse or livestock owners, but they are encouraging continued monitoring as the situation develops. For now, Colorado says it will continue working with federal officials and livestock industry partners while closely tracking the response in Texas. And in local news, the town of Paonia has selected its next interim town administrator. In a unanimous vote during the June 3rd Board of Trustees meeting, Greg Sund was approved to serve as interim administrator beginning June 15th. He will overlap briefly with outgoing town administrator Stefan Wynn before taking over the role. Town officials say Sund received consistently positive references and was interviewed during a public special meeting on May 29th. Under the approved contract, Sund will work full-time with a monthly salary of about $12,560. The town will also provide up to $1,000 per month towards housing costs. No additional benefits are included. Trustees approved several changes to the contract, including reducing the termination notice period from 30 days to 5 days. The board also established a formal process allowing trustees to end the contract following a majority vote at a public meeting. Sun said he appreciated the opportunity and looks forward to helping Paonia through the transition period. Town leaders say one of his responsibilities will be assisting with the search for a permanent administrator. That process will be led by an executive search firm and will include public involvement. Last week, the Bureau of Reclamation announced its plan to manage the Colorado River. The agency says it will use a 10-year framework, with specific operating guidelines issued on a 2-year interval. It's a blow to water users and experts hoping for a long-term plan to address warming and drying conditions in the basin. Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Caroline Yanez has more.
Negotiators from both Colorado and Nevada have said they find it hard to imagine renegotiating the river's operating guidelines every 2 years, and many water experts say the same.
That makes it really difficult to plan. It makes it difficult to make investments. It creates ongoing uncertainty.
That's Chris Winter, an environmental attorney at CU Boulder's law school. He says the fact remains that climate change has worsened drought in the region.
And it doesn't really tell us what we need to do to, again, align consumptive use with supply across the basin.
A new study from the Colorado River Research Group says that if the next water year is as dry as this one was, reservoir storage in Lakes Powell and Meade would likely be mostly depleted. The study also found that even a very wet year would only provide 2 years of additional water storage before the reservoirs were, once again, at risk of running dry. Caroline Yanez, Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
It's primary election season in Colorado, and the KVF News team is working to make sure that you are informed about what is on your ballot. I sat down with KVNF's Brody Wilson in our Paonia studio to talk about primaries happening this month.
Hi there, Audrey. It's good to be with you today. I'm excited to talk with you about the primary elections that are happening later this month. Thanks a lot for joining me.
Thanks, Brody.
So the primaries are due on June 30th. When should Coloradans expect to start receiving their ballots for the primaries?
So ballots are being sent out this week, and voters should expect to get them by midweek or the end of the week next week. And if voters don't receive their ballot, they should contact their county clerk if they're concerned, or they can choose to vote in person.
And does everybody in Colorado get the same ballot?
No. Voters will get the ballot for the party that they are affiliated with. So registered voters affiliated with the State Democratic Party, Republican Party, Libertarian Party, or Unity Party by June 8th will receive only the ballot of the party that they are affiliated with. That's because Colorado has a semi-closed primary system, which means that if you're registered with a party, you can't vote in another party's primary. Unaffiliated voters will receive ballots for both the Republican and Democratic primaries, but they're only allowed to return one of the ballots. Returning more than one ballot means that both of them will be canceled.
Okay, so I know a large number of unaffiliated voters on the Western Slope, something like half. So all those folks will get two ballots, but they have to be really careful not to submit two ballots. Only submit one ballot if you're an unaffiliated voter.
Exactly.
Okay, so for those of us who aren't really political wonks, look, we know that primary elections typically have a very low turnout, but tell us why they matter.
Turnout in primaries matter more than people tend to realize. When people vote in primary elections, it helps ensure that the candidates that advance to the general election are more representative of the people. Primary elections foster healthy debates and exchange of ideas and create a more knowledgeable electorate. As voters evaluate candidate qualifications, track records, policy positions, they become more informed, and the eventual winning candidate is more thoroughly vetted and a better representation of the people as a whole.
Okay, so let's get specific to the KVNF listening area. What are the ballots going to look like for people in Montrose and Delta counties?
So a lot of local candidates are running opposed in their primaries, meaning that primary ballots will have a lot of county seats where voters only have one option. And in these cases, the candidate will advance to the general election no matter how many votes they receive later this month. In Montrose County, registered Republicans and independents will have to choose between two Republican candidates for county assessor and two candidates running for county coroner. And in Delta, Republicans will have to choose between two candidates for sheriff.
Okay, so only a handful, really, of contested seats where the votes really matter, coroner and assessor in Montrose and sheriff in Delta. What about Ouray County?
So in Ouray, there are actually no contested seats in this year's primary election. There are six candidates on the ballot, and they are all running as unaffiliated. All of the candidates in this primary election will advance to the general election in November.
Okay, and I understand that there's a contested seat in for the State House in District 54. Remind us, where is District 54 and who are these candidates?
So State House District 54 covers the western half of Delta County and most of Mesa County, excluding Grand Junction. There are two Republicans running in that race, Nina Anderson and Jason Bias. So the winner there will face off against Democrat Martin Mallory in November. We also have House District 58 in our listening area, but they only have one candidate from each party running.
Okay, so nothing to be decided on House District 58, which was really the majority of the KVNF listening area.
That's right.
Audrey, what are our plans here at KVNF News to cover these elections?
In the coming weeks ahead of the primaries at the end of the month, we are going to be airing clips with local candidates who are running in contested primaries so you can get to know them better. And we'll hear from candidates that are running unopposed in their primaries later on when they're closer to facing off with their inter-party opponents on the November general ballot.
Great. Well, I'm looking forward to covering all those candidates with you, and especially as we get closer to November. Audrey, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Brody.
That's your KVNF Regional Newscast. Thanks so much for listening. If you're not able to catch the newscast live on air, it's available on kvnf.org, the KVNF app, on Spotify, and now on Apple Podcasts. I'm Audrey McCabe.